Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, what I assume is this was right after the Song of Moses. If you have headings in your Bible, it says the Song of Moses, and that was right after they crossed the Red Sea. And then when we get to this verse, it says, brought Israel from the Red Sea. And so my assumption is that there was very little time passed from then until the time they went out, 3 days into the wilderness. So we're looking at just 3 days or 3.5 days is what I assume it is. And then verse 23 starts, and it says, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it is called Marah," which means bitter, if you have a note in your Bible there. "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" And notice there they murmured against Moses. We're going to come up with the next group of murmurings, I think, and it's going to explain a little bit about that. Verse 25, "And they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord shewed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.' And they came to Elim, where there were 7 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the waters." Now, what I thought was interesting is just after they could find no water and they complained, it seems like immediately after that, I don't know how immediate, but the verses there must be something about the context, one would think. They came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the waters. What if they hadn't complained? We know from various sources, basically the distance they wandered for 40 years, and they just wandered back and forth and up and down and all around, seems like, to get where they got to Mount Sinai, I believe, was one of the close to the final destination, and took 40 years to do that. Well, maybe, just maybe, if they hadn't been complaining, maybe they would have got to these wells and trees a little quicker, and they'd have been able to camp in the shade and have plenty of water a little bit quicker. I'm just surmising a little bit there. But we know that complaining is not good, but they complain. And the Lord gave them water by a miracle again. Well, it seems like the Lord is always doing miracles for them, and they don't relate it to their situation, their life. And I'm wondering how many miracles we see or have happened to us, and we forget about them and don't relate them to our life. Just go on about things like they were before and forget them. I've mentioned before, I won't go through the details, but there have been 2 things in my life that I remember forgetting about for the first time I forgot about it, it was 2 years later, and I happen to remember what the Lord did for me. And I was amazed that I had forgotten for 2 years what the Lord had done. How forgetful we are. So we got the complaining there. Then as we go into chapter 16, they even start complaining about what the Lord had already given them there. As we read, I think I'll read about the first 4 verses here. And they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, and on the 15th day of the second month after they departed out of the land of Egypt. So we're looking at 2 months and a half after they leave Egypt. And the whole congregation, in verse 2, of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Here they're murmuring against Moses and Aaron. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Well, as we read on through here, we find that sure enough, they can't even follow the directions of the Lord, and the Lord told them to gather every day except Sunday, and on Saturday they could gather twice as much, and it would last through Sunday. And so a bunch of them went out, and they didn't gather on Saturday, and then they tried to gather on Sunday, and there wasn't any there. They tried to hold it over on the other days, and it became rotten overnight, and it stunk. So they really had a hard time following the Lord's direction. It seemed like that should have been fairly easy to do. And again, I wonder how many times we don't follow the Lord's direction when it's easy. Well, anyway, it says in verse 6, And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then in verse 7 says, For he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. It turns out that murmuring against circumstances to someone, in this case it was to Moses and Aaron, that it was really murmuring against the Lord. It doesn't say they murmured against the Lord. It says they murmured against Aaron and Moses, but then when Moses, I think that's talking here, or both of them together, Moses and Aaron, they said your murmurings are against the Lord. And in verse 8, at the end of verse 8, says your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. So I think that tells us when we murmur, when we complain, when we say things or think things about our circumstances and become frustrated, we think it's against people or against things. If we say, well, maybe I better not say what we say, we might get too direct, but we get frustrated at our circumstances and say, oh, why did this have to happen? Why does that thing always do that? Well, I think it's more like we're saying, why does the Lord always do that to me? We're really murmuring against the Lord because he allowed it to happen or made it happen. Why did he do that? And we may or may not ask that question, why did the Lord do this? Maybe we should ask that. Anyway, we're getting to a point here where we find that they are complaining about here in chapter 16 it is. I didn't write my reference down here. Let me look here. Yeah, they're murmuring against the Lord in chapter 16 about the quail and the manna. Well, the Lord gives them quail and manna. And we find that they then murmur about the manna and complain, I guess, that they're tired of it. And it's interesting that the Lord provided manna and they ate that for 40 years and they didn't complain later all the time. But they complained early on about having the same thing, the manna, I guess. What was the manna? And the Lord tells us that I think the Lord gives us the description of the manna to make us know that the manna tastes good. It's like coriander seed. Now, I don't know what that tastes like or smells like, like wafers with honey. That sounds pretty good. So I'm thinking that the Lord made it all taste good, but they still got tired of it, didn't like it. Well, we found out, those of you that were here last time I was talking about this, that the manna is a type of Christ. And here we have people, God's people, complaining about manna, which becomes a type of Christ. God is giving them an opportunity, I think, here to thank Him for His provision, and the provision becomes later on a type of Christ. And I'm wondering, in our life, when we complain about something, what that might become in our life that we don't realize. Maybe it's our testimony to someone who's watching and we don't realize it. If we would not complain, maybe that would be a special help to someone else watching or someone who hears about it. Because I believe the Lord is doing something in our life to give us opportunity for rewards or blessings if we would but follow His direction and not be complainers. Because that's what happened in the Old Testament. They complained and they turned out to be complaining about the very type of Christ. We looked at that. I think we'll look back again at that in, I don't remember who all was here and who wasn't, but in John 6, Jesus gets pretty specific about His body. And I don't think I'll go clear back to, basically starts back in John chapter 6. Did I say it? John chapter 6. Starts in 29, and a lot of verses go through there talking about belief and life and the Word. And then when Christ starts getting more specific in the middle to latter part of this chapter, he says in verse 58, I think, I want to go to, 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Looking for the reference to manna. And it's there somewhere in this chapter, I think.
Verse 58.
Okay, I just haven't got there yet. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? And then verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He explains right there what he means, and yet some of them still didn't follow him. They still didn't figure it out. He says directly, the flesh profiteth nothing. And he had just told them, if you eat my flesh, you will live. And he says, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Which he went through a whole series of verses before that, speaking of life and belief and the word. And then it goes on, the first part of 64, verse 64 says, but there are some of you that believe not. Which I think shows that the Spirit of God has to open the eyes for someone to believe, which is basically what the pastor's been preaching about, part of what he's been preaching about, that we have no intelligence or power in ourselves to believe, but God has to make that happen. Well, anyway, some of them still didn't believe. Well, back to our relationship again. The children of Israel didn't. They complained about the very thing that was going to be a type of Christ. What a serious thing to complain about. It's almost like complaining about something about Christ himself, their own Messiah. Well, in closing, I'd like to read, although many of us have this in our memory, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Instead of complaining, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. In everything give thanks. Do we give thanks for things that seem bad in our life? Well, I think so, because we don't know what the outcome is going to be when we give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for developing my faith or making me a testimony or whatever. We don't know what all we might be able to thank God for when things don't go like we think they ought to. And also in Ephesians 5:20, a very similar verse about giving thanks. And it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You wonder how quick the Israelites would have gotten to the promised land if they would have given thanks all the time instead of complaining. Don't think there's much question about how fast it might have been. Any questions or comments that I might be able to ramble about? Yes, Doris. I think that's biblical. Yeah, the manna is, doesn't say angels' food, but the, what angels ate. I don't know what that means, but it's probably not something we ought to complain about. Any other comments? Okay. I think the Jews do too want to know.
It was put in the ark.
There's Aren't they still looking for the Ark of the Covenant?
I mean, they kind of know where it's at.
Yeah, know where
it's at. There's proof that it was taken to Ethiopia, but it can't get near to the site because the Muslims have it off just like they did Mount Sinai.
Yeah. So, that's, I think, in Hebrews it talks about all the types. I don't know whether chapter 8 or somewhere in the middle of Hebrews there speaks of, it's talking about all the types of the tabernacle and things of the tabernacle, and man is mentioned there as being kept. So it's in the New Testament also that makes reference to it, the keeping of the man. Any other comments? Good. I mean, good comments. Not good that there's no more, necessarily. don't have any new prayer sheets, but if anyone has new prayer requests, now's the time to make them.